Thank you, Pastor. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Cohen, and for the next couple of weeks, I'll be giving a little short segment in each of our services on the various feasts of Israel. Now, in the past, I have explained about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so I won't touch on that, but I'll be focusing for the next 3 weeks for just a short segment on the Feast of Israel, but on the Autumn Feast that are being celebrated soon in Israel and around the world by the Jewish community. In Leviticus 23, we find God's calendar. So if you have a Bible, please turn towards that. By way of background, I do want to explain a little bit for those of you who didn't hear me speak before. The Passover in verses 4 and 5, Passover is a symbol of the Exodus of Egypt, and it was enabled through the blood, specifically the blood of the Passover lamb. Now, for us who are believers in Yeshua, in Jesus, we know that this speaks prophetically in terms that it brings us redemption from sin and death into life everlasting, through the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is mentioned in verses 6 to 8, speaks to us very clearly. Leaven is a symbol of sin, and here we see a sinless Messiah. We ought to live sinless lives. The first of first fruits, verses 9 to 14, is where the Jewish people used to bring in the tabernacle, or later on in the temple, they used to bring the barley harvest, the first fruits of the barley harvest. This was celebrated on the first Sunday after the Passover. Seeds had been sown into the ground, and the first fruits would be reaped at this point. So too, Messiah's body was sown into the grave. He rose from it, and he's the first fruits of the resurrection, with the promise of more to come. This is followed by the Feast of Weeks. I haven't spoken about that in the past, but at some future stage I hope to. Or the Feast of Pentecost, as we call it. It's 49 days and then one more day, the 50th day, that we celebrate this particular feast. It's the giving of the law in Judaism, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or in Pentecost, the falling of the Spirit on the disciples in the first century. That's the first cycle. Then in verse 22, we find a curious phrase. It talks about the harvest. And I think in terms of the prophetic calendar, we are now within it. We are now within the harvest time. The harvest is ripe, but we do need to sow into this. We need to reap and sow and water and plant. And we need to be busy with the kingdom of God. We can't just be sitting around. We have a 4-month interval at that point, which is the harvest time. And then we come to this feast that we're about to mention and that I want to look at for a few minutes with you. It's called the Feast of Trumpets, and it's very significant. Verses 23 to 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, on the first day of the month, shall be a solemn rest for you, and a memorial of blowing, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. You shall make an offering of fire unto the Lord. Excuse me. It's the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the Jewish community, we don't call this day the Feast of Trumpets. We call it Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. Although the new year technically is in a different time, it's at Passover, this is our civil year. And so we have two calendars. It's a little bit like a tax year and a normal calendar year. Tax starts about 6 months after normal year, so it's the same here. Now the head of the year, or the new year, is remembered by the blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. In Hebrew, Yom Teruah, the day of blowing. Now, my grandson, who's 4 months old, he also blows, but he blows bubbles. So what kind of blowing do we have here? It's not the blowing of nice metal silver trumpets, but the natural hollowed-out sheep's horn or in Hebrew, shofar. And so it is not about crystal clear, beautiful trumpets, but it's the rough, hounding blast, the sounds that are calling us of the shofar. The raw element of nature is calling us. This day, we also call the day of remembrance and the day of judgment, because on this day we are to remember our sins, because God will judge the whole wide world. Now, this is the first of 10 days of the days of awe, in which God will judge the whole wide world, and we all go under a measuring line to see whether we are good or bad. Now, to make sure that we are good, what we do is we have a little ceremony called Tashlich, and we cast away our sins. Now, leaven is a symbol of sin, and so we have breadcrumbs in our pockets, and we go to the ocean, a Boca Beach will do, and we empty our pockets out, and we throw it into the ocean. And it's based on Micah chapter 7, verses 19 to 20, and where it basically says that he will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. And that's what we do. We remove the sins and we cast it into the sea. Now, as I mentioned, this day is called the day of the blowing, and we blow the shofar. Now, the shofar is sounded 100 times in the synagogue. Now, that's quite a little bit, and there are basically four notes, and they're quite interesting. The first is just a plain, straight blast. It's called the tekiah, and I'll sound one in a few minutes. The second one is called the shefarim. They're three shorter notes, broken notes. The third one is called the toah, which are three times three, but even shorter notes, like staccato notes. And then those three notes are sounded a total of 99 times in the synagogue. Then comes the final trump, the great blast. Now that final trump, or the great blast, is called the tekiah kadola. It means the great blowing, the final trump. This is the longest and single sustained blast that the blower can blow out of this. And so we have a total of 100 notes. Now the shofar is used as a symbol because it reminds us of the sacrifice of Isaac, or the near sacrifice of Isaac, I really should say. God didn't allow Abraham to sacrifice his son, but he did send Messiah as a sacrifice in a similar fashion. God did not spare his son, but he did want Isaac to be spared. Now, we blow the shofar, and we have a very good reason for that. And the reason we say is that we want to confuse Satan, because Satan accuses Israel on this particular day. Yet, I don't know who's unconfusing Satan, but he doesn't seem to be very confused over this. Our sins are as plain as can be. We keep committing the same sins, and it's pretty horrible. But I think Scripture does give us a good reason why the shofar is such an important symbol. In Isaiah 27, verses 12 to 13, it talks about God regathering the Jewish people back to the land of Israel to worship at his holy mountain. And he calls them by the sound of the shofar, it says in Hebrew. In the New Testament, we see a similar thing. Paul uses that ingathering of Israel as a symbol. The first passage is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first, and we who are alive with him shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It is the trump of God, a specific trump. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 15 to 58. It's a little bit too long to mention all of it, but read with me verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when it is sounded, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. together we can see that Paul, who's writing from a very specific background, his own Pharisaical background, first century Pharisaical background, saying, hey, in the synagogue we blew the final trump, the great trump, and that's what this is. It's the trump of God, and it is the last trump that shall be sounded. Now, some people think that this connects with the seventh trumpet of Revelation. Just remember that that book isn't written yet when Paul writes that, so it cannot refer to that. He can refer to something earlier, which is why I brought in Isaiah 27, and it's a similar element. God brings back the Jewish people to his land to worship him in Isaiah 27, so he calls us too to worship him with him, and we shall be changed at the Tekiya Kadola, the final trump. So that is really the symbolism behind it. Next week I'll be talking about the Day of Atonement, so thank you very much, Pastor.